Welcome back to Rude Dude.
Welcome to the Rude Dude Recovery Podcast with your host and resident wet brains, Cam and Hen, two dudes navigating the waves of wellness. Thanks for being here. This week, the dudes cover the complexity of resolving conflicts in their relationships. Hen shares his gratitude for his West Virginia community, and Cam doubles down on pause when agitated. Stick around for some techniques to make your partner feel seen and resolve those not-so-fun conflicts we all face. Please enjoy Season 2, Episode 10 of the Rude Dude Pod. Man, if I see you look my way, I'm ringing down. Welcome back to the Rude Dude Podcast, the show that puts some pep in your step, takes some weight off your plate, and remind you that haters are gonna hate, but you are loved. We're your hosts and resident wet brains, your favorite alcoholics recovering in the process, Cam and Hen, Hen Lobster, Cree Daddy Shrimp Man, Boy Shrimp Extraordinaire. How are you there, Cree Man?
La la la. I'm doing good today, man. I woke up in a good mood yesterday, dude. I thought I was getting sick, because that's just a constant theme in my life. And I was all fucked up and was walking around here like, oh, death's coming. And then I woke up today, dude, and I was like, oh shit, it must have just been allergies. So I had a good day today, man. Juggling. My dad had some wild, wacky health stuff going on. So that's been a little stressful. Good news. Some more testing is needed, but nothing as bad as what we initially thought. So there's praise be there. So positive vibes and any prayers for that for our listeners, we would greatly appreciate it. But I'm doing all right, man. How are you doing?
I am doing well, my man. I could tell you were fired up this morning because the first text I got was like, today's show is gonna fuck. That's not what you said, but it sounded cool.
I wish I
today's gonna be a good episode. Yeah. On today's episode of Does This Show Fuck? It does. I'm doing well, man. I'm living the stay-at-home dad life right now. No job. My sister is also not with job right now. And I talked to my dad, I think earlier today, and he was like, God, both of my kids are unemployed. And I said, you know, but we're both doing all right. It's what a blessing that like we're able to do that. You know, I have a lot of work lined up. I've been obviously working in the backyard and stuff, which is great because I probably wouldn't be able to do a project of this size with having a full-time job like I normally work. So it's a good time to get it done. And I do have a bunch of stuff lined up for the next couple weeks. So that is good. And I got a job interview tomorrow. And I had one the other day, some foreman and superintendent and project manager type positions. That's what your boy is looking for. So nice. Everything's good on my side, man.
That's good. Yeah, I imagine Super Boss is probably fucking sitting there, his blood's boiling. Like, both my kids are fucking losers, not working. They're just sitting around doing nothing. You know, he's secretly pissed off, dude.
The number one workaholic of all time.
Dude, I raised you better than this.
Are you at least feel guilty?
Yeah, dude. Get out there and go do something. No, man, it's hella funny how you said that. My sister is also without a job. The way you said that is fucking hilarious. But yeah, dude.
I was thinking with child. Like, yeah, what's the...
She's with child?
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, yeah.
She's with child. But dude. Instead of with, without.
Yeah,
she's
well, hey,
without
dude.
Child.
I'm glad you got some shit lined up, man. I'm rooting for you. You got the fresh haircut. You're ready to go. Locked in. I imagine you're going to get one of those. So keep up the good work, bro. And the backyard looks fucking tits, man. I got to say that. The pictures got me real excited over here.
Thank you, my man. I'm excited about it. And I have to say, there's a lesson to be learned. I think many of us struggle with our perception of ourselves. And like for me, there's always body dysmorphia. I think most people who work out experience that. But there's also just the lack of kind of seeing yourself how others see you, and a lack of belief in abilities with a lot of us. So I interviewed for this job, and it was a superintendent, and for a pool company, they build like commercial pools, big projects. And the guy really liked me and was really interested in me. I think I could probably have the job if I wanted it, but the problem was there's a lot of travel required, and I'm not too excited about that, and Kristen's not excited about that at all. I've done my time on the road. It's not fun. I don't really want to live in a hotel 5 days a week. But anyway, I had this realization of like, wow, this guy wants me for this job. Like I'm not qualified, or like I, you know, and Kristen's like, your resume is really good. Like you've been doing this for a long time. You have management experience. You've been 15 years, blah, 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 blah. But it's just this lesson of give yourself some credit. Believe in yourself a little bit, because this thing of like, oh, he would consider me for this superintendent job. And it's like, yeah, he would. Why wouldn't he? And so it's been interesting to like, just a reminder, like, hey, dude, you don't really suck. Stop being hard on yourself. You're kind of all right.
That's super important to do. Because I've mentioned on this show, it's so easy for us to, especially us in active addiction, right, to fall back into that. I'm still just this eternal piece of shit, kind of, maybe. I don't know if that just like sits there in our subconscious. But I had a similar thing kind of happen the other day. It was like my birthday. Two of my reps just like sent me some Skrilla for my birthday. Like a half a rack just for
our West Virginia people. That means money. A half a rack is $500.
Yeah, these people don't know who E40 is and shit. So I guess we do got to break it down. Here's California
Wait,
slang.
$500?
Yeah, just for my birthday, bro. Just hey, you're what? Awesome. We love you. And I like I'm literally sitting here like this. I'm like,
hell
oh,
yeah.
Fuck, like, I guess I am awesome, right? And so I had that kind of same realization, right? Like, oh, fuck, I am way better than I think I am. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And sometimes it's sad that it takes an outside source to inject that into our asses, though. You get what I'm saying there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, sometimes we need it, and then it's good to take it and remember, like, use those little things to build yourself up. I have a little West Virginia love story that I have to tell real quick before we get into the topic. And it's just a perfect symbology, if you will, symbiontology of why I love West Virginia. I was thinking about this. So I'm currently doing this project in my backyard, right? My buddy Dylan let me use his Bobcat and flatbed trailer. My buddy Trey is letting me borrow his little tow behind 6x12 trailer and said, just hold on to it until you're done. And then another friend of mine and Kristen's friend, Zach, saw all the rocks that I got dumped in my yard on Facebook. And he's like, you're not moving that all by hand, are you? I got a quad you can tow that little trailer with so you don't have to hook it up to your truck. So I got his quad. And I was just thinking how blessed I am and how cool that is. And when I try to explain it, it's like the whole state of West Virginia is like a small town there. You got friends, and I didn't say, hey, can I borrow your quad? Someone saw that I might be doing a lot of work and offered, and he fucking delivered it, man. And my buddy, like, could you find a Bobcat right now that you could just borrow?
No.
And does somebody, you know, have a trailer for materials that you could just, you know, it, I feel, you know, it depends on what field you're in and all that kind of too, but it's just the kind of people that are here, man. And that's why I love it so much. It's like this small community type of deal. Like, oh yeah, buddy, come grab it. Keep it for as long as you need. I don't need it back whenever you're done. And man, I just love it, dude. I feel like that's how we used to be, and that's how community should be. But like bigger cities, you don't really get that.
You know what, man? And that is something I'm envious of, right? Like, cause yeah, you just hit it right on the head, dude. If I was doing something like that out here in my backyard, like, dude, nobody's giving two shits about helping me out here in Sacramento County. It's just not happening. You know what I mean? And it's sad. Now you'll get that up in the hills. You will, because it's that smaller vibe.
Yeah.
I've seen it firsthand. Like, oh, hey, yeah, I'll use a Jimbo's tractor or whoever the hell. But it's super cool that there are still real ones out there, right? Like, hey, they see you and they're like, hey, I got it. I'm not using it. I'm going to let him borrow it. He needs it right now. You know what I mean? And it's that trust, right? And it's just, I agree, man. I think that's so fucking cool. And it's a great way to like give back, right? And then now you have a whole bunch of other times that you get to, you know, return the favor in some which way, right? Like, you know, and that's how that community shit goes. So I'm jealous, man, because you know people aren't doing that shit out here, dude. They'd tell me to eat a dick or ask me for fucking heroin or something.
Well, there's something about it too, because in California, I'm not letting anybody drive my truck, like even with me in it. But I've literally let people, they're like, hey man, I need to pick something up. I'm like, yeah, come grab my truck. I'm not using it. Like it's a reciprocated thing where you're like, they would do it for me. So yeah, you got it. You know, like, oh yeah, you can just grab my truck. Like no big deal. Keys are on the floorboard. Doors are unlocked. Go ahead.
What's the difference between that though? Like, why is that? So if I asked you for your truck while you were out here, you wouldn't let me drive it?
If probably you not, asked me, I probably would. Yeah. It's hard to say. It's hard to say now because now I'm like, I would because I do it all the time. But like, yeah. I feel like back home, we didn't just let people borrow our car.
No one's ever borrowed my car, bro. Ever.
Right. Yeah. No, right.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Like Brandon's been like, hey, I need to pick up some sheetrock. He asked me, can I do it? And I'm like, just take my truck, bro. I got other shit to do. I don't care. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, that's cool, man. I'm jealous, bro. I'm jealous, dude. I wish I had a strong community like that. We don't got that out here. That's another reason why West Virginia is superior.
I love it. Well, we got a topic today. We got a good one, and it came up because I was talking to my cousin and my sister on the phone, and we were talking about conflicts in relationships and how we resolve them and stuff. And my sister pointed out this would be a great topic, and we talked a little bit about this actually not too long ago, but I think there's a lot more stuff to hit on, and I think we want to focus on particularly, you know, your partner and romantic relationships, but I guess it kind of applies to everything. But I think it's a great topic that something everyone experiences and has trouble navigating.
Yeah, man. And I think another reason why I think this is such a perfect timed episode is after your mom's episode, right? Like it was a prime example of dealing. I mean, we didn't get too hardcore into, you know, how she handled the relationship and things like that, but it was brushed over in a way that, hey, was there these conflicts? It obviously wasn't being handled in a healthy way that we handle it, you know, at least nowadays in our 12-step lives. So yeah, man, I think it's a great topic, man. And I see that you have a good one here to start us off. Start us off real quick, Ken.
Something that definitely applies to this is something my sponsor, a different sponsor that I had 3 or 4 years ago, told me, and I've never forgotten it. And it's always, it's guided me through a lot of my conflicts. I was visiting California and I called my sponsor up and I was like, dude, my dad's driving me fucking nuts. I cannot stand him. He's doing this and that. He's blah, 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 blah. And I was just going off the rails, right? And when I finally finished my rant, he goes, it's hard looking in a mirror, isn't it? Oof. And I was like, oh, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Because after I thought about it for a little bit, he was right. And the reason that applies so much to this topic is oftentimes when I find myself in a conflict, it is me emulating behaviors of my father that I didn't like being on the receiving end of. So I have to think about, if you didn't like when it was done to you, why would you do it? And so I work really hard to try and not perpetuate behaviors that were done to me that I didn't fucking like. It's also easier for me to see something when Kristen says it or you say it. I say it all the time. I'm like, oh, that's a Mike Sheridan thing. That's my dad. My dad was just fucking like that. And the older I've gotten, the more I've become like my parents. You know, we talked about that a lot, the whole get off my lawn thing, and you understand, and now you got to tell your kids money doesn't grow on trees and all that. And there's good being like your parents and there's bad. So my point I took the long way around to making was, remember what those qualities were that you didn't like in your parents and make sure you're not doing them to your partner or friends.
Yeah, man. Yeah, dude. And it comes back to kind of being mindful, right? Like you wouldn't notice these things if you weren't kind of in tune with how you were feeling. Like, and it's weird how we can subconsciously carry those types of behaviors with us. Like, now after listening to you say that, I kind of emulate both my parents in certain ways with how they used to handle things, right? Like, I didn't have a contentious how upbringing. Like, my parents are high school sweethearts. They've been married for fucking 38 years. They were together in high school, yada, yada, yada. But the thing is, ready, my mom was always super passive, right? And would just be super agreeable and would just kind of almost get, like, taken advantage of, right? Because she just didn't like conflict. And then my dad just would get maybe a little pissed off, but he would just be like, I don't care. Like, he'd just be like, I don't care. Like, do whatever you want. I don't care. Mm-hmm. And so
kind of passive aggressive.
He just didn't fucking care. Even if he did, he would just be like, yeah, but whatever. And so I have carried that type of shit with me where something can come up as a big issue and I could be like, dude, I don't care. I don't care. It is what it is. You know what I mean? And sometimes, dude, the I don't care,
it's not true.
It is not true, and it's also not the right fucking response in every scenario. You know what I mean?
Oh, good. You just don't fucking care. I'm asking an important question about our family, and you don't fucking care.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't care. And I don't mean it that way, but ready, it's a default thing that I've taken from my childhood, like you were just explaining. Or in the past, when I wasn't drunk and angry all the time and Cameron Joe Pesci wasn't out, I would just be kind of passive, right? Like, so that could be kind of like almost being taken advantage of, right? Because I didn't want conflict. I didn't want to fight. I didn't want anything. It makes me feel icky. So I'd just be like, yeah, sure, whatever. Take it. Do that. Whatever. And that's me taking what my mom did all the time. So I think it's super interesting how we are molded by our environment, man. And, you know, it helps me to try to be a better parent, at least around here, right? So, like, what the hell am I modeling? Like, I take the quote from the movie Blow, like, never in front of the kid, not in front of the kid. Mm-hmm. So if Ash and I have a fight or if we're bickering, dude, it's not happening in front of the kids. I don't want my kids to see that shit. Does any of that make sense? Because I was kind of rambling there.
Not a word.
Good. That was my goal.
No, it absolutely does. And it comes back to awareness. And I think this brings us to another point that we have on here, seamless transition. It's okay to be wrong. And it's okay to realize that you were wrong. Mm-hmm. Kristen and I had an argument the other day, and she pointed out what I was doing, and we talked about it, and then I was, like, trying to argue with her, and I was coming back, and I was like, all right, well, give me a second, and, well, I'm talking really slowly because I'm kind of realizing that you have a point. Yes. And I might be wrong here. Like, I swear to God, live, dude, I was right in the middle. I'm like, no, I mean, what you're saying is making sense. Oh. And what I thought about is, a lot of times in arguments, we'll get to a point where we know we're fucking wrong and we lost, but I'm digging in because this is my stand, and we're mad at you, so I'm not going to sit here and tell you you're right, you're wrong. And I was, like, thinking about that live in the moment, and I was like, I don't have to be right. She's making a good point, and I've lost this one. Chalk one up for the other side. This is okay. I can concede. And that's the thing, man, is – with Kristen and I, we resolve our conflicts a lot by saying, and sometimes we have to step away, but it's like, you know, I get where you were coming from, and it makes sense. And this is where I was coming from. And this is what I talked about with, you know, when I was on the phone, is the important thing is to use like I feel statements. Talk about yourself. I know you didn't mean this exactly, but when you said that, I felt like you were saying I was a piece of shit. I was blah, blah, blah. And I know that's not what you meant, but this is the way it made me feel. And it makes sense. I understand your side, but I think you could have went about it differently. So concessions are made where I'm not saying you're completely wrong. I'm not saying that you're not making a good point, but there was a moment or there was a thing or there was a piece of it that didn't sit right with me. And I think you could have handled better. And that's how we like meet in the middle a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, dude, you're in for a very successful marriage with that type of, you know, conflict resolution, because man, that's really kind of what it all comes down to. And breaking it down to how it made you feel is actually really fucking genius, because when you're in that kind of contentious little fucking part, right, and you're arguing, you're up here, right, and it kind of comes back into like a part that I have up here, like, oh, meeting them where they're at. So, dude, if they're coming at you like this, and I'm doing this for video response, where they're up super high, your initial response is to just meet them at that level. And when you're both running off of anger and frustration and all that, nothing is going to get resolved, because you're matching the energy with the energy that's being thrown at you. It's super important to concede, though, like what you said, right? Like when you are in the wrong, you got to wave the white flag, man. You got to wave the white flag. I used to be absolutely fucking terrible at that, bro. And I still catch myself kind of doing it to this day, where I'll lose and then I'll leave the room and I'll know that I lost. And then I'll come back in and I got to say my last little piece about it. Right. And then I'll walk out. And that's me handling it in some certain terrible way. I'd be like, hey, I lost, but you still did this. Eat it.
And you know what else?
Yeah, you know what else? your mother's a whore. Yeah, like no, like you know, like sunshine. I don't mean that, but you.
Your mother's a terrible cook.
but dude, it's something like that, right? Yeah. And now, being able to, you know, kind of step back, and that's something that the program really, really hammered.
That's that 10th step, man.
That's that 10th step, man. I say it all the time on here. The pause when agitated has saved my ass more times than not. And especially in this type of scenario, bro, like being able to see your side of the fucking street in these things is the greatest gift that's ever been given to me, to be honest.
Yeah. And your point of meeting someone where they're at, like they come at you crazy. Dude, I had this with my neighbor, and this can put me on a detour, but if they would have just asked me nicely, hey, you know, I would appreciate if you would let me know before you came in the creek that I don't fucking own, but I'm going to say that I do because I don't like when kids play in the creek that's connected to both of our house that's technically behind my yard. But if they would have just talked nicely, we could have had a civil conversation. But in these conflicts, I think this is important to remember from both sides, whether you are the initial agitator or the responder. I tell people, like, I match energies. So it's funny how sometimes people will be like, hey, this, that, and third. And you're like, oh, really? Well, this, that. And they're like, whoa, chill out. And you're like, well, hold on. You came at me at 10, but I got to come back at a 3. If you come at 10, I'm coming back at 10. So people sometimes don't realize how they come across, and then they're surprised when you come back with some vigor, and it's like, whoa, I mean, you came at me all crazy. How I'm supposed to be the bigger person? But we are also supposed to, you know, like you said, pause when agitated. And something that I like to do and try to do, and this one's difficult. This one's important to talk about when you're not mad. This one's important to set as a ground rule for me. If we're both really mad and we're both really at odds and bumping heads, we shouldn't talk about this right now. We need to have a sleep. We need to have a think. We need to have 10 minutes. We need to have half an hour. We need to go to the gym and come back, whatever it is. And then we'll talk about this, because especially with this self-awareness that we're talking about, if you give me a minute, I can realize where you're coming from and what my part is and what I'm doing wrong and what I'm willing to meet you at. But if we're both at 10 in anger, I'm going to say some shit that I don't mean. I'm going to say some shit just to piss you off. I'm just going to poke the bear for no fucking reason and make this way worse than it needs to be. So, and that was something that my anger management teacher talked about, that like walk away. And what I mean by like setting a ground rule of this ahead of time in your relationship is if I just go to Chris, I don't want to talk about this right now. Well, that seems like I'm cutting you off and I'm deciding when the conversation's over, and that's not fair. But if you talk about just on a normal day, say, you know, sometimes we get really upset and we're arguing and I'm afraid I'm going to say things I don't mean just to hurt your feelings that I'm going to regret, and I don't want to do that. So if we're fighting and I say, can we come back to this, please? Like, I just need a minute. Can we table this? Just know that I'm not trying to cut you off. I'm not trying to invalidate your position. I'm not trying to say I get to decide when the fight's over. I just need that time so I don't say something I don't mean.
Yeah, man. And that's such a great thing to implement, man. That is where the pause when agitated piece comes in, right? Like that's where it is. And that's the blessing of like the fourth step. So for our normies, these are kind of parts of the steps that we're talking about here. The part that Henry was talking about that I think is so vital, and it's actually rubbed off onto Ash with how I've handled conflicts and how I've come to her
same
after an argument and say I've conceded, like you were talking about, Henry. Like in that example, I've come and I said, hey, I see what you are saying. I see what you're talking about. Here's what I was doing. I could see how that affected you. Here's what you did, even though she doesn't ask for it. And then maybe she goes, hey, you know what? I didn't even notice that either, right? And then it's all about seeing your part, because when you're elevated, dude, you really don't see that. You don't see it, man. You're like a bull seeing red. But when you can step back and pause, like we're talking about, and if you actually think about it, you're involved in some which way, and I can promise you that you are not guilt-free in whatever the argument is. There is you have some part to play in this conflict, and 99% of the time you're both wrong in some which way. Somebody hasn't been validated in something hasn't been addressed. There's a small resentment here, there's a small resentment there, and that's how these conversations can get out of control. But if you do what Henry just talked about, like, hey, instead of me blowing off the fucking handle right now, I got to go take a walk really quick. It's not because I don't want to have the conversation. And that's a great point too, man, is actually letting her know that, like, hey, it's not like I'm trying to avoid this conversation to sweep it under the rug. I just need to do that because I'm a little hot right now. You know what I mean? I'm bad at that. This is actually kind of like an eye-opening thing. I'm good at it and I'm bad. I'm good and I'm bad. It depends on where I'm at, man. Like we're not perfect, right?
You need more blankets and less blankets.
Exactly, dude. Like I have, dude, that's great. I have days where I'm fucking tits, right? But then there's days where I get into super analytical mode and I want to like finger fuck you to death with the reasons why you're wrong. And yeah. It drives Ashley nuts, dude. And I hate when I do that. Cause I'm sitting here, I'm like, here's where you're wrong, 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 wrong. Here's my part, I'll acknowledge it, but you're wrong here, there, that, and the third. And we're growth in progress, right? Like, I'm not a dickhead at all. I'm pretty passive, but there are days when old Kreeran can fucking dial it up.
I learned from that anger management class that sometimes you should walk away and come back to it later. But as we're saying about these fights, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. And going back to what caused the fight, you could have made a valid point, but you could have said it in the wrong way. So that's what we're talking about when we're saying see your part, where it's like, it really bothers me when you leave your underwear on the floor. Okay, that's valid. But let's say you were like, yeah, I gotta step over your fucking underwear every goddamn day, you know, whatever. That's a shitty example, but you get the point.
It's perfect.
Yeah, there, so you can have a valid complaint, but say it wrong. And then what I was getting to about the I need a minute is earlier in our relationship with Kristen, I was more I'm deciding whether we need to talk about this or not, and I'm deciding when it's over. Mm-hmm. And, or that's how it came across, when really what I needed to express and get to was that we can talk about this, but I don't think I'm upset right now, and I don't think it's the right time, and I'm worried about what I'm going to say, but it's not like I am the king and this conversation has ended, you know, like that can't be, that's not the meeting in the middle. It's not like I say when this is done and it's done, you know? So yeah. That's why I talk about, you need to like have this conversation, not in the heat of battle, and set up a plan for your particular relationship. Like, hey, when we're mad, why don't you go water the fucking flowers or whatever you do, and I'll, you know, whatever I do, and then we'll meet again in 10 minutes. Like, make a plan so that it's not in the middle, I'm deciding this fight is over. No, we've talked about how we're going to say some shit we don't mean, so let's let it breathe for a minute. And then, like we said, the beauty of letting it breathe is I'm like, damn, I was kind of being an asshole. Damn, maybe I shouldn't have said it like that. You know, I kind of get where she's coming from. And then we can come back to the conversation and be like, I do understand. And that's the other side of the thing I said earlier. One, concessions must be made. But two, you need to let the person know that genuinely that you hear them and you see them. It's like, I do, and I try to be very clear with Kristen, like, I do understand what you meant. It makes sense to me that XYZ because ABC, and you're right. I completely understand that part. Where my problem was, so like, let the person feel heard and acknowledge them, not just bullshit like, yeah, I guess your little fucking thing was kind of whatever. Not like that. Like, genuinely, I get what you're saying, and I do need to work on that, but here was my problem.
Hey, Rude Gang, do you want to elevate your podcast listening experience? Well, look no further. Our sponsor, the Podbeat app, can seamlessly blend your favorite style of music with any podcast. Customize your listening like never before. Feeling like some hip-hop? Podbeat has you covered. How about some hard rock for your next hard-hitting episode? You guessed it, Podbeat has it all. Do yourself a favor and download the Podbeat app. Transform your podcast listening to a new level. Download Podbeat today.
Choose the insurance plan.
Are you tired of cookie-cutter insurance plans that don't truly cater to your needs? The Insurance Lab is revolutionizing the insurance industry with personalized plans tailored just for you and your business. With 15 years of experience in the insurance business, including 10 years in commercial, their founder and friend of the dudes, Joey Hensler, knows all the ins and outs of the industry. Frustrated by the lack of individualized care at larger companies, he decided to start his own business. Whether you're in need of home, auto, or commercial insurance, he's got you covered. From machine shops to salons and even cannabis dispensaries, they specialize in insuring businesses of all kinds. At the Insurance Lab, you're more than just a policy number. You're a valued client. So if you're ready to experience the difference that personalized insurance can make, get in touch with them today at 916-957-1933 or visit the show notes for links. And let the Insurance Lab give you a free customized quote today.
Yeah, dude, I do that. I do that where I'll sit there and be like, after I can sit and kind of calm down, be like, hey, what you are bringing up is valid. I see and I hear what you are saying. And it comes with a level of humility, right? Because nobody wants to lose an argument, right? Like, nobody does. Like, nobody likes being a loser in anything. And so, and especially when someone's telling something bad about yourself, right? Like, hey, you are an asshole, or hey, you're not picking up the slack here, or hey, you're not doing it there. We have a rule in this house. We don't go to bed angry at each other. So that argument is going to get taken care of one way or another. And one thing I did bring up in the earlier in this episode was, I will kind of get annoying, and Ashley can kind of, she has to tell me to take a walk, because I don't like the icky feeling of confrontation. I don't want tension. I don't like it. It makes me anxious. It makes me feel icky. I don't like, you know, non-immaculate vibes. Like, I live in some fucking fantasy land. So yeah. I will come back in and be like, okay, hey, I see what you're saying. Like you just said, I hear you. Here's the points. And I could be completely right. But ready? It's not on her time. she gets to decide when she's over the fucking over the issue too, right? This isn't like what you said. This isn't Dictator Cameron's fucking story where I get to say, hey, here's everything you want to hear. Now it's done. That's not how it works, right? Like just because I'm saying it, and it may be exactly what she's upset about. I've got it down to a fucking science. I've got a 12-step plan on how I'm going to fix it. And here's me conceding. So it should be done, right? Well, no, dude. Everybody heals in their own way. But this is another thing that I kind of wanted to bring up. Doing this type of stuff is very important for people like Hen and I, anybody in recovery, because resentments are the number one offender, my friends. Resentments are the number one offender. They eat you up inside on a different type of level. It brings the pain. It brings the anger. It brings the fuck its. They come swinging for you. The devil gipper jumps right out of the closet coming for you. So we have to nip this shit in the bud as quickly as we can, because if we just sit here and we eat these things, more than likely you're probably gonna end up using. I've seen it a trillion times.
Oh man, this is a good one. We're getting into it. We kind of talked about this, but one of my notes, and I think it's important to just say it outright, is that it's okay to both be right. Both things can be true. Yeah. And or it's okay to both be wrong, because you kind of alluded to this earlier. We don't live in this black and white world where this person was 100% right and this person was 100% wrong. You know, and it goes back to taking your part. And I mentioned the 10th step. And for those that don't know, it's the personal inventory. And I'm going to botch this because I forget, but it's like you do it every morning or every night before you go to bed. I mean, and when you've been in recovery for a long time, it's just kind of like a constant thing. Like I did it, dude, I did it at the gym today. This is the best. So I walk over, the guy's like changing the trash can and I'm just working out. I got my headphones, I'm vibing. I walk over, I throw my freaking paper towel in and I walk away and I feel this gaze. And it's the gaze says, I know this motherfucker just didn't. And I turn around and realize that while he's taking out the trash bag and there's no trash bag in the trash, I walk up behind him and just throw my trash in like the can with no like and if I knew what I was doing, it would be such an asshole move. I'd take immediate inventory. That was fucked up. And turn around, bro, my bad, I'm so sorry. And I went to go pick it up, and then me and him laughed and talked about it. He was like, dude, that would have been like a really dick move, but it's really cool that you said that. And I appreciate him. Then we laughed and joked. And I was like, dude, I'm so sorry. He's like, oh no, you're good, man. That's cool. And I was like, I just fucking was spacing out, but I just took it. I just ate it right on the spot, said my bad, realized what I did, and I ate it. And you know, you said people hate losing arguments, and it's true, but it's not as
the general populace is what I'm talking about.
No, but it's true though. No one likes losing an argument. But if you just say, hey, if you just try it one time, you say, hey, I saw what you were saying, and you know, I was wrong. That was rude of me. It's not as bad. And it gives the other person this validation and this like Kristen, like she loves it. You know, it's like, hey, thank you for seeing my side. I appreciate that. And like you said, rubbing off on Ashley, I've rubbed off on her, because 10 times out of 10, she'll go, you know, I shouldn't have said it the way I said it. And I thought about that and whatever. And it goes both ways, man. When you open up that communication and you make it okay to be wrong and you make it okay. We talk about this all the time. It's okay to change your stance. Like, oh, well, you used to be a racist piece of shit. Well, now I'm not. Isn't that better than still being one? Why are you mad at me for changing? Yeah, I used to think that, and now I didn't. Not, I didn't used to think racist thoughts, but you get the point. Yeah. it's okay to change your stance. It's okay to be like, I think this, and then be like, damn, that was wrong. Hey, my bad. I don't think that anymore. You know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, dude. I think the beauty of it actually rubbing off, like the program rubbing off onto normies, is the greatest part of the whole deal, right? Mm. Like being able to teach people how to kind of process how we process, like being able to see your part, like is just so huge. And I'll come back to that like 3 trillion times, because I just love it so much, man. It's taught me how to be more mindful about how I'm acting and how I'm behaving, right? And it's just like, hey, dude, like you're doing this and the facts are there, and you got to set your ego aside. And just recognize that you still have your flaws, right? In every circumstance. I love the story about the gym thing. I think that's great. I am gonna bring up another thing, because this is kind of about, you know, spouses and partners and stuff. But this conversation also relates to everyday people in your life. Okay. And what I mean by this is, can you have these types of conversations with people in your life, like friends, you know, acquaintances, coworkers, whoever it may be? If there is a disagreement and they keep meeting you at that level 10 every single time, then these conversations with these people no longer serve you. And what I mean by this is, maybe these people are not meant for you in your life at this moment, right? Because that type of toxicity is not healthy for us in recovery, mm-hmm. right? If you're going to have somebody who is constantly on the defense, who is constantly screaming, who cannot take a look at themselves, you mm-hmm. need to realize that, hey, these people mm-hmm. are not my people, right? Even if you're coming,
they come, bang!
But when they come at you like that 24/7, then you need to go, hey, even if this person isn't using, this is a person in recovery, it doesn't matter who they are, this person may not be the best for me, because they eventually will drag you up to their level or down to their level. And all that progress that we've made, changing how we respond and changing how we communicate and setting our ego to the side and seeing our part, that can go out the window real quick. And it can go right back to what I was saying earlier. That equals resentments. Those don't get handled because you can't communicate with this person effectively. And then that is a slippery slope that more times than not will lead to a relapse or you just being an angry piece of shit. And we can't have any of that. So I just wanted to get that point across that, you know, sometimes it's not always with the partner. And if somebody doesn't know how to effectively communicate with you and they're bringing nothing but negativity, you don't need those people in your life.
Dude, I will scream this from every mountaintop and I will perish on this hill 1,000 times You're over. Perishing. I will not argue with someone with zero self-awareness.
Facts.
It's the same thing as arguing with a toddler. Like, if you can't see yourself as you are and can't take any responsibility for your part, there's no point in me arguing with you. And we know someone like this who I just refuse to. It's not worth my time. If we've tried it and we know the result, there's just, it's not worth my time, because you have decided that it's this way and you did nothing wrong, then there's no changing your mind and there's no me wasting my time trying, because you've already made a decision and you don't think that you carry any responsibility. That I love what you're saying, dude, because with your partner, obviously, you can't just do this stonewalling and say it's not worth my time, but hopefully they're not that bad. But with other people in your life, you have to recognize, like, I'm not doing this. I'm not arguing with a toddler. I mean, that's the simplest metaphor for it. I'm not arguing with a toddler. If everything is always my fault and you've never done anything wrong, we have no reason to discuss anything, because you're not going to see my side.
I say you could set a number, right? If you walk away from a conversation with one of these people and it ends like we're describing, you can go, okay, well, there's number one. Okay. And then the next time you talk with them, they're still kind of acting the same way. Oh, there's number two, maybe a three or a five, you know, see how many times this happens. And then you, being the mindful, healed person that you are, talking to all our listeners, because you listen to what we say and we are healed people.
You listen to the Rude Dude Pod.
That's right. It's time for you to do, as Henry says in his infamous words, Boundary Man 1000, it's time for you to move.
Ayo.
your space, dude. It's time for you to move your space, because even if this isn't even a recovery thing, if you're just a sober person, is it worth getting yourself all riled up dealing with somebody like Henry just explained that is acting like a fucking toddler 24/7? And I got to say, this isn't even like a roast of my brother, but my brother has this issue where he comes at me at level 10. Justin, if you're listening, I love you, but he comes at me at level 10. And I come back at level 10, or sometimes I come at like level 5, right? I come at level 5 and I try to go with the calm roasting.
Like, and whoa, dude.
Yeah. Hey, man, I'm not saying anything. I'll talk just like this. And what he'll do, and it drives me fucking nuts, right? And we'll go on hiatuses of not talking, is he'll scream, not hear me, and then hang up on me. And dude, I cannot fucking have it. Luckily I love my brother and I forgive him after time goes by, but it's a prime example. If you have somebody who deals like that, dude, walk away from it.
The last point that one of the last points that I have to make here, if multiple people are saying the same thing about me, maybe I need to take a little look. If Cameron, one of my best friends, is saying this, and Kristen is saying this, because it seems obvious, right? But there are people like this. Everybody says this about... Well, motherfucker, if everybody says this about you, let's maybe take a little look. And that's please, my rule of thumb. Wait, two people have mentioned the same exact thing? It might be fucking true. Imagine that. And like I said, as I sit here and say it, it seems obvious. But the fact of the matter is that it's just not. If everyone else is the problem, you might be the problem. And if two or three or four people say you act or behave a certain way, for me, I'm going to say, damn, Cameron and Kristen both say that. They're both two people who love me very much. That might be something I do, and that might be a behavior that I need to take a little look at. Like, yeah, this is self-awareness 101. If multiple people are saying it, take a look inside.
And this comes back to something we preach on the regular here, dude. This is why you want people who are also going to tell you these things and keep you accountable, right? And keep you accountable. Have people in your corner who have the courage and love you enough to tell you when you're doing these things. So we want to get rid of the people who come at you at level 10 and can't communicate effectively. But we also want people who aren't constantly telling you that you every single thing you do fucking sucks ass, but are willing to tell you, hey, you know, this is something that you do, and it's wild. And it, like Henry just said, if two people confirm it or three, you need to do some soul searching. You need to do some soul searching. I used to, when I was drinking, I used to think everybody loved me, and Ashley's family, I don't know if I brought this up here, I guess Ashley's family like secretly hated me. I mean, that's no surprise, right? Because yeah, I was drunk all the time, but I'd get real slappy and touchy. So I've brought it, but it's worth bringing up again, right? And Ashley would tell me all the time, be like, dude, you are super slappy and touchy and you interrupt everybody, and my family cannot stand it. And I'd be like, no, that I don't believe that at all, right? And then, dude, I got sober and I asked, and of course, dude, it was true. Yeah, man. I mean, every time they try
or
to
you experience it from someone else and you're like, oh, stop, God, fucking bro, touching me.
Dude, stop.
Yeah,
touching
I heard
me
you the first seven times you said that.
Yeah, dude, can you shut the fuck up, please? My God. But yeah, dude. I just think it's super funny, but it comes with that self-awareness, man. It comes with that self-awareness. And if anybody, any normies are listening here, I'll gladly walk you through the steps. Hen and I will. I'll show you how to do this stuff. This stuff has changed my life on how I deal with arguments, confrontations, self-awareness, dealing with, you know, making amends and all the shit. Because I'll die on it. There's a bunch of people who are anti-12 steps, and I just don't get it.
Well, I think that's a good one, man.
The little zipper, dude.
What's our takeaways here, man? Take responsibility. See your part. Do a little self-assessment and think, did I convey that properly? Did I say that the best way, or could I have said that better? And what's my part in this? Because we always have a part in it.
Yeah, whether the initial person is coming, you know, accusing you of this and that, or you're completely innocent. You're not completely innocent. You have some part to play in this. And what Henry said, one more time, I will reiterate, listen to what your partner or the other person is actually telling you. Listen. And I mean, listen with your heart, your soul, and your mind, and try to understand it, right? And do that when you're calm and you're level-headed. So that's my final little breakdown of confrontations. Take a step, pause when agitated, see your fucking part because you are not a saint, and listen to your partner, and it's okay to be wrong. Like Ken said, love it.
Dude, I want to end this episode before we end in the episode with a big fat practice what we preach. So I went and bought a suit today because I'm getting married. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I didn't show Kristen. It's a surprise. It's you want to withhold the wedding dress? I will withhold the suit. So I went and bought a suit, and I was thinking about, you know, what do we talk about on here? We talk about not people pleasing and doing what makes you happy and not doing something for the benefit of other people. Well, I was thinking about this and I don't know why it hit me. Well, I was talking to the guy who worked there who was helping me get my suit, and he was like, why Greece? And I was like, because I could either stand in a barn in West Virginia for a day and pay $15,000 so everyone else can have a good time and secretly complain about the food when they go home. Yep. Or I can have the best vacation of my life. I can marry my wife looking over the Mediterranean Sea. I can have a bucket list. I can stay in the honeymoon suite with an infinity pool over the sea for less than what this one day would cost us. And my man, if this ain't practicing what we preach, do I want to give this day that everybody's probably going to complain about anyway to all these other people? Or do I want to have, is this about me and my wife? Is this about me having a good time and me having an everlasting memory and me not blowing a shit ton of money for one day, but instead for something that we also preach on here, which is what? An experience, and how they're always worth the money. Not only am I going to remember, oh, we had a great wedding day where we paid $8,000 to stand in a barn. No, no, no. We had an amazing wedding day while the Mediterranean salt air kissed me on my cheek as I said my vows. And you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what, man? As a married man who did the conventional wedding, you hit it right on the head, man. It's a day that was beautiful. I wouldn't take it back, right? But you get a bunch of people showing up there. Everybody's getting drunk, and no one really cares what's going on there. They're no one cares about the napkins. No one cares about the flowers. No one cares about the tablecloths. No one cares about anything. And you can get all nutted up about that in wedding planning. Like people give a shit. Every wedding I've been to, dude, you think I give two flying fucks about what the utensils are wrapped in? I could care less.
We just hope we have a good DJ. We just hope we have a decent DJ.
Yeah, yeah. I need Mac Dre on the DJ, and there we go. And the wedding would be the greatest thing in the world. But yes, dude, you hit it right on the head, dude. Ready? You're going to go, and instead of walking around having to take 6,000 pictures and appeasing a bunch of people that you don't give two shits about seeing except for like a handful of them, you're going to go, and you're going to spend a fantastic time with your future bride-to-be with salt air, kissing your skin, overlooking, relaxing, unplugging from society in a beautiful country, and enjoying yourselves by yourselves. I think it's fucking fantastic, and I'm actually super jealous, dude. I'm super jealous. So I'm glad that you are practicing what you preach, dude. I can't wait to see the pictures.
You know, I do. Do I wish my family and everybody else was there? Sure. But at the end of the day, this is what happened was, too, with this decision, so my friends and family know, is we picked a date. We floated that date to the most important people, and an important person couldn't make it. Oh, okay, let's try this date. How's this date? A different important person couldn't make it. How about this date? A different important. So now we're jumping through hoops to find a date that we don't get to decide when our wedding is. Everyone else gets to decide. And we had a final straw with that, and we said, fuck it. We're going to go do this for us. We are going to do our reception on our 1-year anniversary next summer. So everyone has fucking time to plan, and no one can say they had plans because you've known for over a year now. So there it is.
Dude, love it, man. You guys are fucking wizards, dude. That's a grand plan. Look at that. Yeah, here, you either make it or you don't. You have a year in advance. So there you go, man. There you go. By the way, for all our listeners, I think Forrest will be filling in while Henry's in Greece. And if he's not, then you will just have me raw and unedited. There will be no music coming in. There will be no nothing because Henry's our editor. So those episodes will be fantastic.
Actually, we were talking about maybe frisking a quick 20-30 minute guy with me on the phone. Yeah. So we'll probably have a like, hey, man, I'm never coming back. This is incredible. Good luck. Peace be with you. And El Bazo, Bazo Rose. Dude, I was taking Duolingo. They literally, for 30 days straight, were having me say the pink vase. And I'm like, what the fuck are we doing here? Can I just ask someone what their name is or where the bathroom is?
Yeah. Well, hey, at least you'll know where the pink vase is, dude. That's fucking hilarious. Dude,
I'm like, there better be a lot of fucking pink vases when I get there, brother.
That's awesome, dude. Well, let's get to Creeran's quote for the week. And actually, you ready? I picked this one 2 days ago in preparation for this. And lo and behold, I didn't even think about the correlation. It's perfect. It ties into it perfectly. You ready?
My man.
You're going to have an erection, dude. You ready? It's just letting someone speak their truth can sometimes be the biggest gift you can give them, to just hold the space for them. Amanda Palmer. That's it. Listen to the truth.
Not only does it apply to this episode, it applies to last episode, which I want to thank my mom for coming on and being vulnerable and telling her story. And I got a message from her the next morning. She said, I woke up crying and I thought about it. And I don't think I've ever told my story because no one's ever asked me. And I realized I just released these things it's like taking this weight off my shoulders. So because why? Because we let her speak her truth. And again, like I said, validate the person. Let them tell them that they are heard. And then you can move forward with, you know, your side of the conversation.
Yeah. And I do want to shout out Deb again, too. Thank you for coming on, Deb. It was a powerful episode. You could see kind of that she had never done it before, right? Like, you know, we get used to doing this type of shit, right? Like, we're open books. And you know, when you sit up in meetings for, you know, years, you've told your story 600 different times. It doesn't matter, right? It's like water off a duck's back. But for people who can actually suppress that stuff and hold on to it for a long time, just holding the space for them, like we do here at Rude Dude, is really therapeutic. And it makes my heart super happy that she was able to come on here, sit with us, and to talk about it, and to be able to let some stuff go that maybe she was holding on to for God knows how long, bro. You know what I mean? And how fucking beautiful was that? Like, you know, like, cause I know the feeling. I know the feeling of holding on to those little chestnuts that you hold on to forever. And when you finally let them go, be like, fuck, dude, that feels so good. So thanks again, Deb. I love it.
You might not hear this song, this episode end with Full Blown Stone. You might hear, oh, baby, why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little. So why don't you just meet me in the middle? Dude, that's such a jam.
That is a good song, dude. And actually, let's get sued. Oh, let's play it.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little.
Little.
So why don't you just meet me in the middle?
Middle. Dude, that's fucking awesome. Oh, all right, dude.
What's the other one? Dude, Starving, Haley Steinfeld.
I didn't know that I was starving till I tasted you.
You got the little freaking techno breakdown. Oh, yeah. Good vibes. Vibes are high.
Dude. Ending it on a good note. Okay, Hen, what do we got for him this week?
High vibes.
What are we sending them off with? What are they following? What are they doing? Give it to them.
Support our sponsors. Download the Podbeats app if you like listening to podcasts, which you do because here you are, and you want to get some vibes with a run or a walk or a workout. Download Podbeats. You got a beat playing, and it really is really cool.
It is.
It's like, okay, I've turned this dead silence into a little vibey jam, and now I can groove. So definitely check it out. Also call the insurance lab. The links are in the notes, and he's certified in like 47 states. So wherever you are, he probably can get you an insurance quote. Tell him the Rude Dude sent you, and personalized service, personalized quote, and you will be able to get the owner on the phone. So support that. And also go follow us on Facebook. We post on there probably the most. Mm-hmm. Find the Rude Dude podcast and get on there, participate. Send us your meme, send us your recovery meme, send us topics you like. Connect with us anywhere, man. Wherever you're listening, comment on this on Spotify, on Apple. Email us a topic, whatever you want to do, rudedudepodcast@gmail.com. Get involved. Talk to us. We will respond. DM us on Instagram. We do respond, and we do take listener questions and suggestions. So get involved with us.
Yes, please do that. And if you are a new listener and you happen to be coming across us for the first time, you like what you're hearing, please hit the follow button. Maybe share with a friend. A little bit of that goes a long way. 5-star review, maybe a quick little sentence on Spotify. All the little things matter for us. So thank you for listening, and we love you very much. I will finish it like I always do. Hen, this was a really good episode, and I love you very much, brother.
I love you too, Cree Daddy. And remember, be yourself and fuck what they think.
Step 4. Later, dude.
And step 10.
You like stories about haunted locations, or maybe tales of cryptids and spooky folklore from around the world? If so, why not tune in to Haunted Escapes with Chris and Diane, where all this and more will be discussed. New episodes drop every Sunday, the visual versions the following Friday on YouTube. So why not come join us on our Haunted Escapes?